This is the anthem. Here's what you came for.
Welcome to the Disney Beat, a podcast brought to you by thedizinsider.com. My name is Sean Nyberg, and I will be covering all of the Disney headlines to keep you informed as you start your week. Hello there, this is Sean Nyberg, and this is a very special edition of the Disney Beat Podcast. I recently had the pleasure of speaking with one of the most popular and beloved Disney YouTubers around, Jack Kendall from the DSNY Newscast. Our conversation lasted 2.5 hours, and we covered a wide range of topics. I will be releasing the conversation in 3 parts, starting with an in-depth discussion about the Disney theme parks. We cover all of the changes coming to the Walt Disney World Resort in Florida, Disneyland Resort in Anaheim, and Disneyland Paris. We discuss the big 50th anniversary coming to the Magic Kingdom, along with Epcot's 40th celebration, the Walt Disney Company's 100th birthday, and Disneyland's 70th and 75th coming later this decade. Part 2 of the conversation will cover the Walt Disney Company, current management, Disney Plus, and Disney's upcoming slate of movies for 2021. Finally, in Part 3, Jack and I dive a bit deeper into the Disney fandom and discuss the joys and pitfalls of being a Disney YouTuber. We look at the different styles of Disney news coverage and what it takes to stand out amongst the crowd. But first, here is Part 1 of our conversation. Enjoy as we dive deep into the weeds and cover every square foot of the Disney theme parks. All right, hello there. I'm Sean Nyberg, and this is the Disney Beat Podcast brought to you by the Disney Insider. I'm very excited about today's special episode. I am joined by the host of one of the most popular and beloved Disney YouTube channels, covering all aspects of the Walt Disney Company with a slight emphasis on the theme parks. Joining us from the United Kingdom, host of the DSNY Newscast, please welcome Jack. How's it going, buddy?
Everything's going well. It's currently a little bit later here. We're a bit behind, a bit in front of you in California or the West Coast. But yeah, it's going well. Thanks.
Well, good. I'm glad you can make it. I'm glad we could make it work. Before we get into everything, I just want to do the standard intro that we have to do. We got to please follow Jack on his YouTube by searching DSNY Newscast. That's DSNY, Disney without the vowels. Also on Twitter and Instagram at the handles at DSNY Newscast. I'll provide a link to the show notes to his YouTube channel and social media accounts with this podcast. So go check those out. So what's going on? How's it going? We're not going to get into COVID. We talked about that. It's going to come up when we talk about the company, but we have to at least just say, you know.
I feel like everyone's
it's
a bit
tough.
Well, it's like dominated so much of the last year. And I noticed around the summertime, I was like, I actually put out a poll and said, do you want me to continue talking about COVID stuff on DSNY Newscast? And people were like, we've had enough of it. Okay. We understand it's important. We understand it, you know, follow the rules and do the stuff to try and suppress the virus. But like, we come to your channel for Disney news, you know, and I almost felt like I was becoming COVID newscast after a while. So I was just like, yeah, I don't really want to become that guy. There's enough epidemiologists who know the stuff properly, and I don't want to like pretend. So let's get back to the Disney news side of things.
Didn't you make like, I remember you did a video where you said, I'm not going to do every little update.
Yeah. Well,
right. Tiny little change to every little thing.
Well, especially, and I'm so glad I did that, because looking at how the parks closed and reopened, then closed again, like in the case of Hong Kong or Disneyland Paris, that reopened throughout the summer of last year, now it's closed again. And then obviously tracking all the updates with Disneyland Resort. I know that's a bit of a sensitive topic for many people, but it's still closed coming up to the year mark. But I just didn't want to continually have to cover the same ground. And especially with all of the guidelines, the physical distancing and all the other stuff, once we found them out for like Disney Springs and Walt Disney World or Shanghai, when that first opened, like it was going to be the same across the board. It was going to be the same at Disneyland or Disneyland Paris or Hong Kong Disneyland. It was going to be the same across the board. So,
and they're going to be changing. I know even this morning, there are some changes made at the Walt Disney World Resort. So,
for mass policy.
We just said we're not going to talk about COVID, so we will move. I mean, it will come up, obviously, because we're going to talk about, you know, the economy, you know, the business side. So, but let's get to know you a little bit. So, Jack, I gave you these. There's only 4 questions here. This is just, I like to start off with these so that people can decide if they like you or not right off the bat.
Okay.
And then they can just.
They're not going to like me. No.
How many Disney park? Wait, what's your favorite? Let's just start. What's your favorite Disney park? I know you've been to more than most people.
Yeah. So I've never been to the Asian parks, but
Okay.
The ones I've been to, obviously, Disneyland Paris is my home park, the one which I went to the most growing up. I have a soft spot for it, but it's not my favourite. The one which I like the most is Epcot.
Okay.
And if you want my quick ranking of the Walt Disney World parks, it would be Epcot.
Oh, do it.
I would say Epcot, Disney's Hollywood Studios now, Magic Kingdom, and Disney's Animal Kingdom last. I know people don't like it when I put Animal Kingdom last, but it's just not something that I'm really that into. The animal.
Would you consider yourself an Epcot purist, one of those kind of guys?
Definitely not, but I don't like what they're doing with the park in general. What annoys me so much about the Epcot decisions at the moment is it's wasteful of money, basically, and time, and they're ripping down perfectly good buildings that didn't need to be ripped down, basically. And and the lack of symmetry in the park and things like that, it's just, it feels like they're trying to rush to get more IP into the parks than anything else.
Yep.
And it's just not leading for best decisions. So,
all right, what's your favorite Disneyland or Disney ride, just period, in any of the parks?
Pirates of the Caribbean is always my favorite.
Which one?
The one in Paris is my all-time favorite. And then one in California. And then I would put Walt Disney World's last because it's a lot shorter. Yeah. And yeah, it's just not the best one.
I was reading that. God, I forgot which book it was. I have it over here. The one they were about building Disney World, and they had Tony Baxter in there talking about the reason that people aren't quite as enamored with the Walt Disney World one versus Disneyland. Just the idea of you know, you're not going down as much as you do in Disneyland. It's not, you're so much closer to the queue. You don't get pulled up. I mean, did you notice that? Is that kind of? Well, I've never been to Walt Disney World. Just so you know,
you've never been.
I've been to Disneyland like 50 times, but I've never. Right, but listen, I'm going in April.
Okay.
For eight days.
Okay, that's fantastic. That's good. At long last. But
yes, finally.
Yeah, I was concerned people weren't going to like me, but okay, for not going to Walt Disney World, I'm a little bit of resentment. No, I'm joking. But seriously, no, I think that you will have the same opinion of Pirates of the Caribbean when you go on it. But Spaceship Earth, honorable mentions for ones which I really like. Spaceship Earth, Carousel of Progress, and Haunted Mansion obviously are close runners up behind my favorite attraction of Pirates of the Caribbean. But one I could ride over and over and over again would be Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. All right. How about favorite hotel in any of the parks, any of the resorts?
Polynesian's probably my favorite Walt Disney World. And then Disneyland Hotel is okay. I've never really stayed at these ones. I stayed at Paradise Pier for Galaxy's Edge to try and get that reservation back in 2019. So me and my girlfriend, we stayed at one of the cheaper hotels nearby, the less expensive ones. And then we went and spent one night at Paradise Pier just to get that reservation. And then we moved back to our other hotel. We couldn't afford the full amount. So.
No, it gets expensive there. We're staying at the Yacht Club when we go in April.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's also one of my favorites near Epcot because obviously it's right next door to Epcot, so it's fantastic.
Border. All right. This isn't a question I put on there, but we're going April 5th. Am I going to be able to ride Ratatouille?
There's a good chance. There's a good chance.
Maybe.
I think we'll have an opening date definitely by then, but whether that opening date is going to be April 5th, we don't know yet.
Will I see Harmonious? No.
You definitely won't see Harmonious. You might see the fountains on. You might see the new daytime fountains. Oh. Who knows? Or at least see them testing within the next month.
All right. And the last one we got to do to really... favorite Disney movie. It can be any of the
Mary
subsidiaries
Poppins.
Or whatever.
It's
Mary
easy.
Poppins.
Mary Poppins is always my favorite Disney movie. Favorite animated movie, Jungle Book. Favorite Pixar movie. Wall-E holds a special place in my heart. I just love that movie. And favorite Marvel movie probably would be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. So,
Volume 2, okay.
And Star Wars, obviously. Empire Strikes Back.
Empire, okay, good. Yeah, that's classic. Yeah. Dude, Skyler, the guy who runs the Disinsider, his favorite Pixar is Wall-E as well.
Yeah, no, we bond over our love of Wall-E, yeah.
it's not quite universally loved. It's weird.
Well, what I love about Wall-E is it does so much with, you know, these non-verbal characters for most part, and that really, to me, shows a great sign of storytelling, that, like, they can carry this real emotional punch with these two, you know, not very animated characters, you know, besides Eva's, you know, LED screen, you know, for eyes and things like that. It's not, it just carries it because the story is so strong. These two main characters, it's fantastic. I love it.
Sounds like you've had a support your decision before. Like
I
you already
have
your arguments lined up.
I also like It's a Bug's Life. People also you know, sleep on that one, and I really like it, A Bug's Life. So yeah.
Okay, so that was good. So now, we're going to get to the bread and butter, kind of the stuff that we both really just live and breathe. The Disney Parks experience and products. We're really not going to talk about products and experiences. We're not going to talk too much about the cruise line or the live theater. Those are just both right now just shut down, and there's really no.
We can talk a little bit about cruise line if you want. A little bit about cruise line, okay, if you want, but eventually. But we'll talk about the stuff that people want to hear about, which is Walt Disney World, Disneyland, all that sort of stuff first.
That was Walt Disney what world? I've never heard of it. Okay, so quickly, let's just touch. I know we've already we don't want to talk about COVID too much, but just really right now we've got the two parks that are still closed are Disneyland Paris and Disneyland in Anaheim. We have Walt Disney World, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Tokyo are open. How do you think the opening's been going from an outside perspective?
So from my perspective, I think Disney have done a remarkable job of operating during a pandemic. I think it was an impossible task to reopen the parks. I think they've done it extremely safely. I think they've been very diligent with the mask policy and being like, you know, a zero tolerance kind of approach to it. Like, you know, if you don't wear your mask, you're out of the park. That's it. And you can actually be banned for life. So either comply with the rules, it's private property, or don't. We're not messing about. We have enough people around here, indoor spaces, we're not messing about. So I credit them for that. Disneyland Paris has remained shut at the moment. That's reopening in April. And obviously Disneyland's reopening is right around the corner. We should be probably getting a date for that fairly soon. I reckon Disneyland will definitely be open by its anniversary in July. It'll definitely be open by then. And I'm not bringing on any sort of like voodoo curse to Disneyland, guys. I'm not bringing on the theme park gods against Disneyland. It will be open by summer. The current rate of vaccinations and stuff like that. Newsom won't be able to keep it closed for much longer. I mean, we're already seeing what they're doing with DCA during March. And things like that. But yeah, I think that overall, the park capacity and things like that, it's fairly safe. It's as safe as... But here's the thing. I can't say it's completely safe. Number one, I haven't been there. Number two, it's anecdotal from people who... friends and family and people who have been out there and been to parks. But also, it's everyone's got their own different safety level and comfort level.
Yeah.
Some people who are... don't want to wear a mask. I would disagree with not wearing a mask right now. But those who don't want to wear a mask may not want to go to Disney until that mask policy is gone. And in which case, I think you'll be looking at 2022. I reckon the mask policy will be lifted around spring break time, 2022, just after that. Once we get past the next winter with vaccinations and COVID and all the other stuff, once we can get past and we've got through one winter where people are actually being vaccinated and we can see what COVID does during a traditional winter period with surge and all the other stuff and with vaccinations, then Disney will be like, okay, right, summer, we always know it dips in the summer anyway. It's an influenza.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think my fiance and I are going in April. We actually got our vaccines.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason we're going. You know, I got my dad's got major lung cancer issues, and I'm his primary caretaker. So just worked with where he's getting his treatment. So, that's one of the only we would not have gone if we couldn't have
got
our vaccines. That's just how we are.
And
I will get my second one in about 2 weeks.
Okay, cool.
So we'll get them both before we get there. So
Pfizer.
Yep, Pfizer, we both got Pfizer. And just when we're recording this now, just so you know, this is the weekend that Johnson & Johnson just got approved, approved. It got recommended by the FDA, whatever commission yesterday. Right now they're being, I think maybe by the time we're done recording this, we're going to get news that it's getting actually delivered. So
we've got a lot of positive.
We'll find out. Is it getting shot out there in the UK? Johnson & Johnson, have they approved it?
We've got a lot of vaccines in the UK. We've got Moderna, Pfizer, AstraZeneca is the big one that we got most of. I think we've got Novavax as well, which is another one, and we've got another French one, mm-hmm. which we've actually managed to fund more than the French government, which means that we get more vaccine than I don't know. It's very all over the place.
Yeah.
But the thing is, yeah, the strains are always going to evolve. This COVID is going to be the word COVID and the actual, you know, in the lexicon and in the news cycle, you're going to be hearing about COVID for the next 10 years easily, because this thing is, many people are only, the pennies starting to drop, but this thing's going to become an endemic. Pandemic to endemic, it's going to become like measles, and every every traditional flu cycle or whatever, we're going to have COVID instead, and COVID's going to fill all that gap. And because we're not going to get, I don't know in America if you'll get to 60% of people taking up the vaccine. I wish you would, but I don't know if you'll get to that point. But so it's going to ebb and flow throughout the years, and it's going to be around for the next 10 years or so, and we're probably going to need yearly booster jabs, much like a flu jab and things like that. But there is hope on the horizon from the standpoint of vaccine technology is now not just targeting the spike cell, the spike protein on the cell, but we're actually targeting the actual cell itself, you know, the core of the cell, and we can actually mm-hmm. attack the protein there. So by doing that, we might be able to knock out COVID completely when we get to that level of jab. But at the moment, we're only just targeting certain strains. So
we're going to be in every aspect of our life dealing with this, which means the parks are going to be dealing with this.
Yeah, but I don't think the masks will be around forever because of it. I think there will come a point next year, Disney will be like, right. And they'll make a big deal of it.
Yeah.
They'll do a second relaunch of their 50th anniversary campaign around it.
I always like when they say, what's his name? When they just talk about look when they're filming, pieces for like galaxies, Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic, are the actors that are in the promotional pieces they're recording, are they wearing masks or not? And it gives you an idea when they're going to release it. Because if they plan on releasing it in the next year and a half, they're probably going to have masks, at least some of them. And then if they have no masks, it's probably something they're not waiting for.
I noticed something weird over Christmas. Disney re-put out their Disney Springs advert, and it's one they shot in 2019. And I remember seeing it at the beginning of 2020, obviously before everything happened like this. And it's a very stylistically shot advert around Disney Springs, you know, hey, spend your night at Disney Springs, that kind of thing. And they re-released it at the beginning of 2021, and the exact same advert, and they've digitally superimposed masks onto every single person in the advert. And they've even spaced out the tables digitally. And it's very... I put out a tweet about it. It's like, Disney, digital trickery here. You know, this kind of thing. But, like, so I think they might shoot adverts without the masks. And, I mean, it'd be smart to just shoot it both ways, wouldn't it, at the moment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're doing that with the cruise ships. I think I saw somewhere that they were filming them with both. So let's talk about what's coming up with these parks. Let's first talk about... I kind of broke it up into short-term projects we're looking at between 2012.
I know, 2001 to 2005.
What was coming? DCA was coming out.
And then you had Mission Space in between that period. Yeah, it was hardly anything happening in that period.
All right, so 2021 through 2025, we got some stuff. We got, everyone knows this year, Mickey's 50th, the Magic Kingdom 50th.
Yeah.
Walt Disney World. We got a lot going on. You're going to be... busy soon.
Well,
one would think.
I think I'll be busy. Well, that's the thing. I would have been a lot busier if it wasn't for the pandemic with the 50th, because a lot of what they had planned for the 50th, they've kind of benched it a little bit further back. And the 50th anniversary of Walt Disney World, which will be a big resort-wide celebration. It's not, yes, obviously Magic Kingdom will be the center focus, but obviously we're going to see this span to every single park. And, little things will be happening at every single park, and it'll be a resort-wide celebration. But the thing is, it begins on October 1st, which is the anniversary date of the Magic Kingdom. And as I've said in previous videos, traditionally Disney usually begin their celebrations before the anniversary date, and then they have their anniversary date during the celebration. This time it begins on October 1st, and it will be running for 18 months afterwards, which takes us to March of 2023. Now, the thing in 2023, we've got a big date in 2023, and that's October 16th, 2023, is a date that many companies don't even get to, and that's the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company. And we already know via D23 Expo being pushed back to September of 2022, a lot of dates here, guys, but we already know because it's been pushed back to September 2022, they are going to be announcing a lot of stuff for that 100-year anniversary celebration of the Walt Disney Company, and that's going to involve the parks a lot. So the stuff that has somewhat been benched back a little bit from Walt Disney World's 50th will be benched back into 2023 for the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company. So if we don't get a... Yeah, go ahead.
No. So wait, hold on. So I know that... So the 18 months wasn't a surprise for the length of the celebration for Magic Kingdom. That wasn't a surprise. They always like to drag this stuff out. 50th is a huge one too. So the biggest change was that they moved it starting on the actual day of the anniversary going forward. Then that's going to bleed into Epcot's 40th.
Yeah.
And that's going to bleed into the 100th anniversary. So they're going to have
like a 6-month period between the end of the 50th and the beginning of the 100th, formally. I mean,
but they'll be celebrating the 40th during that year, right?
Yeah, they will be. Yeah. 40th? Yeah. And so the things that we got, so it's very complicated. And I've tried explaining it best I can. I'm trying to, I started mentioning the 100th anniversary of Walt Disney Company back in 2019 for D23 then, because I was like, this is a big deal. And Disney know how big that date, that milestone anniversary is. And it turns them truly into a heritage brand. It turns them into a, you know, a Coca-Cola level company. You know, they already are that level, but you know what I mean? They've got that longevity there, and 100 years is massive, and you're going to see some big things from Disney, and they're planning some big stuff. Now, what I would like to see is different to what others would like to see. I would love to see something that celebrates the history of a company a bit more, because I'm a big history fanatic of Disney in that kind of way. But you know, we'll see what they've got. I just don't want to see, I don't know, an anniversary cupcake for the 100th anniversary. Anyway,
So speaking of 50th, we got some big announcements over the last couple of weeks about what they're going to do. You've covered it extensively on your channel, so people, if you really want to see everything they're doing, see the new colors, see the new outfits, see the how they're decorating the four icons, go look at DSNY newscast on YouTube. None of this was really a surprise, right? I mean, people who stay like you, who ingratiate themselves into this stuff every day, you kind of saw most of this, right?
And most of it is, easy. I mean, I wrote half the script for that 50th anniversary video, the big announcement, actually, before we even got the news, because it was also, by the books and pretty easy to predict, if you've been following it for long enough. And I've, like, much the same way of Remy's Ratatouille Adventure, which is opening soon. Like, I can almost write my review of the area before it even opens, because I've been on the ride in Disneyland Paris enough time, so I can give a review of the ride, as long as it's the same ride, which it will be. It's a clone, and Tron and things like that. But so, in the immediate future, we've got Remy's Ratatouille Adventure opening at Epcot, and it's pretty much a finished attraction.
It seems like it's test
and just. They're ready to start opening this thing up. But as I've tried explaining on DSY Newscast, it's so much more than just, hey guys, it's open, it's ready, let's open it up. It's a PR optics nightmare in many ways. Because traditionally, Disney would love to promote the hell out of this thing. Like, they would love to market it to the moon. You know, this thing would be huge, especially after the bad year they've had last year. But right now, the vaccines aren't quite at the point where they should be yet. And they're kind of in this pause point where they need to open something in Epcot to pull people in for the Flower and Garden Festival locally, and pull in more domestic travellers. International travel still isn't allowed yet. Yeah. So they're just very much in this kind of hole pattern. And if they open it too soon, or they try and market it too big, then they will look irresponsible for marketing a big ride opening in the middle of a pandemic. And that's the reason why we're seeing things like the Velocicoaster in Universal Studios being very cagey with what date they're going to give for their opening. They keep saying summer 2021. They can give an opening period, and much like we're getting, you know, 2021 opening for Romeo's Actually Adventure, but they don't want to be specific. And so what I predict is we're going to get a very short window between announcement of the opening and opening.
Okay.
Which goes against traditional marketing logic, because you want to allow people time to book to go and visit, don't you? But if Disney are wanting to stop a lot of the bad press of being like, hey, we're running a 6-week advertising campaign to get people to come to our parks, then it makes more sense to just be like, hey guys, which I think March 9th will probably get a opening date at the shareholders meeting, the annual shareholders meeting, because they often announce attractions on that date, on the annual shareholders meeting. And then I think it may be as soon as like, hey, and this is opening in 2 weeks or whatever. You know, it might be as soon as that. It might be like April 3rd. You know, it might be 3 weeks.
Yeah, that one. That's good for me. Yeah.
but they won't give it a massive, hey, this is going to, I don't think they'll say, hey, it's opening Memorial Day. Unless they really think that vaccinations, and they won't look as irresponsible to be marketing it for Memorial Day. Because the later
I agree with you.
Yeah, so it's just a marketing.
So the delay on. So the delay on Remy's would be more, like you just said, about the marketing, about the safety, and about the optics of opening it versus things like the Tron Light Cycle and Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, where they've slowed construction to spread out the costs because they're cutting back on some of their capital expenditures.
This attraction's done.
This is done.
This is done. Yeah. And Disney had just been sat waiting around with this thing. And it would also explain the reason why we didn't see... I mean, this thing, they could have, if they wanted to open it last year, they could have really like pushed and opened it last year if they wanted to. Like, if they really wanted to have opened it last before Christmas, they could have. But, like, it's wasting... I mean, they were already stung, in a way, with Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which opened on March 4th, 2020. You know, literally was, 2 weeks before the world, you know, collapsed under the pressure of COVID and everything shut down. You know, Disney had just opened Mickey's very first ride-through attraction, which was a big deal for that, for the company in general. And it's a great attraction. I haven't been on it yet, but from what I can see and from what I've heard from friends, it's a great attraction. But yeah, they've been stung by that once, and they've only realistically got Remy's Ratatouille Adventure to open this year, along with Harmonious, which is a nighttime show, to market in a big way for the summer of 2021.
I was thinking the same thing. It's not as big, but with Magic Happens Parade in Disneyland, you know, they've been talking about that for 2 years.
And it opened February 19th or something, didn't it?
It had like 3 weeks. And then I was like, oh, granted, we have people dying, people sick, people permanently sick from the, but, you know, it's something we love. And I'm just like, oh, that sucks so bad for all those people.
If you strip away the rest of a pandemic, which we're not trying to talk about, you know, the greater scope of the pandemic, because, you know, we're not news people who talk about that. But if you talk about Disney from just a business perspective, it's a blow to the business. If we're looking at it from just a pure business perspective, it was not a very good position to be in. And that's what they're trying to avoid right now, is trying to understand, hey, we could open it and get, you know, the locals interested coming back to Epcot and boost local attendance and maybe a bit of domestic attendance. But then let's save our big marketing campaign, our big marketing spend, for when we know we can really market the hell out of this thing.
Well, the thing about Epcot, though, even if they do open it when it's still like 35% capacity, it's so big that capacity is really not really an issue at Epcot, right?
But the attraction is the thing that's got the capacity concern.
But I'm just saying, like, it can hold a lot of people, can't Epcot, in terms of
Epcot can hold around 110,000 people.
Okay.
So if you look at this is rough. We don't actually have the proper numbers because Disney don't release those.
Sure.
But like approximation, Epcot's 110,000. I think Disney's Animal Kingdom and Disney's Hollywood Studios is around 60,000, and that's full capacity. And Magic Kingdom is around 80,000 to 90,000. I think it's around 80,000 actually. Might be a bit higher, but so Epcot's the biggest park. So when Epcot, if the parks are operating at 35% of capacity, which they supposedly are running at right now, that park is operating at around 40,000 people in the park. it's realistically,
yeah.
which isn't too far off what Disney's Hollywood Studios or DAC can hold, you know, Animal Kingdom can hold on the busiest day of the holiday period. You know what I mean? It's not too far off. It's a very... So, Epcot can easily hold the capacity, but it's the ride itself.
But then you put 40,000 people in the French Pavilion.
Yeah.
And
it's a cul-de-sac. It's a courtyard. It's a dead end. And then you also have the other dilemma, which I haven't really spoken about too much, but... So, Remy's Ratatouille is a clone of the ride from 2014 in Disneyland Paris. Now, that ride itself. So, if you very quick discussion of trackless ride technology. So, Disney had Mystic Manor in Hong Kong Disneyland. That was their kind of first big trackless ride of this new technology, new LPS technology. Then you have Ratatouille, the Adventure in Disneyland Paris, which opened in 2014. Now, that built off the Mystic Manor technology, you know. But then there's a big gap between that and Rise of Resistance and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which are both trackless.
Whoa. Luigi's Rollicking Roadsters
in 2016. No.
Yeah.
That went through all sorts.
It's technically,
you know,
right?
The amount of issues that went through. Because I think they actually had an issue with... I think it was the issue with that, from what I read and what I heard at the time, is that it was a specific type of LPS or trackless ride technology that was licensed out or to a certain vendor to build within Disney's Disney California Adventure, and then they had disagreements over that, and that's kind of what led to the delay with Rise of Resistance, because they had developed their own technology, and it was this whole kind of like big thing about that, but. So basically, Ratatouille is like a ride from 2014 to hold 2014 capacity, and it's 2014 trackless ride tech. And it's a trackless ride that was very good in 2014, but if you put that right after Rise of Resistance and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, I don't know how well it's going to play.
Wait, I know it's a clone, but are they literally using the exact same technology too?
The exact same. I mean, it might be slightly tweaked technology-wise, but it's the exact same ride layout, exact same scenes. We've had it confirmed now that it's going to be bilingual, so it's going to be using French and English dialogue on the ride, because obviously that's how it is in Disneyland Paris. It's a complete lift from Disneyland Paris. The only thing that's different is the exit doesn't have the restaurant, which is Chef Remy. Which is
where's the restaurant in France Pavilion going to be in Epcot? Where is it going to be?
It's just going to be a crepe.
Part of the queue, or is it just separate?
It's not part of a queue. It's separate, but it's a crêperie, and it will be operated by a third party. So, but it'll be a crêperie. It has very small indoor section, but it's really a crêperie window. And it was like a last minute addition to the pavilion, to the expansion. It was like it wasn't even in the original plans when. In 2017, when we were discussing like the water management, so when things get announced, like we get like the water management district, they release like permits and things like that, so we get to get the layout of the expansion a little bit early, and it wasn't even part of that plan. So that's how late an addition it was. So it was a.
Will we get the crêperie before the ride?
Pardon, sir?
Will they do that? Will we get the crêperie before the ride? If they go, you know what, we're gonna wait till midsummer. Where we won't look like irresponsible jerks by doing this, but let's open something because people are itching. Could they open the crêperie before the ride?
They could easily open it before the ride, but like you say,
would they?
Yeah, I think they would because it's money. I mean, it's easy revenue to be made. But the fact that they didn't, when they pushed the walls back to open up the restrooms, and this is very technical, but when they pushed the walls back to open up the restrooms in the France expansion, the fact that they didn't push those back far enough to open up the crêperie says to me that they're going to open up the crêperie and the ride at the same time. But unless on the annual shareholders meeting, if they announce a very late opening date for the ride, I could see them then opening up the crêperie sooner.
We talked about Remy's. I know it's an Epcot ride, but in 50th, we will see in the 18 months, we will see Tron Light Cycle open, right?
So Tron is aiming at early 2022. I still think there's a possibility that December 2021 it could open, depending on how quickly the parts bounce back, vaccination, things like that. Basically, the inside of the building has been paused for now, but it's not a very complex installation of show set elements inside. It's not like, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy or anything. It's pretty simple, the show set elements they need to install. So they could probably get that done pretty quickly. And I think maybe we could even see that in December, like Rise of Resistance opened in 2019, in December. I think we could see a December opening of 2021 of Tron. But if not, I would say March for spring break.
Okay. Do you see it? Is it an? It was done in Shanghai Disneyland. Is it like a Remy's where it's an exact clone?
It's an exact clone. Yeah. There's not much more to be said. So.
And I heard you talking in a different podcast because I was doing a little bit of research about this is back in the day, but you were saying something about is this going to challenge Space Mountain, or do you think they can coexist?
I personally feel that. Once this opens, I feel like Space Mountain is going to look pretty tame next to it. Because this is a, you know, it's a unique ride vehicle. You sat in a motorbike kind of style forward, 0-60 in one of the fastest launches that they've ever done. And it's a very short ride. It's only like 90 seconds to not even a minute. It's the same sort of length as Rock and Roller Coaster. But it's going to look very different to Space Mountain. Now, Space Mountain, I love, but I do feel like in the next couple of years, we'll probably get some sort of announcement from Disney being like, hey, guys, we're going to inject X IP into Space Mountain. Because how do you have Space Mountain sit next to Tron? Like, when it won't be immediate. It, you know, we'll still see Space Mountain for a while, but the current Disney regime will see Space Mountain thing, what this ride needs to get more people in it is an IP. And I don't...
Well, you know they're making a Space Mountain movie, right?
Yeah, they... Are they?
They are. That's Skylar said. It's in pre-production right now, so...
I heard something about Big Thunder Mountain. I heard something about...
Space Mountain. So we'll see. Maybe this may be there. And the reason they have it is probably because of this. So they realize either we're going to have to put an IP in there
Wally
or make an IP out of it.
I still think Wally is a fantastic IP for Space Mountain.
Like, oh, you do, yeah.
Like, all you need to do is stick a couple of Wally and Eve, either, you know, statues in the middle of Space Mountain, light them in different areas and stuff like that. And you could be doing the dance in space with Wally and Eve. Like, it's a very easy thing to do. Like, set the whole space station theme to B&L, and you're on the B&L space station and stuff like that. It's very easy to do. I think it'd be very cool. But
so. We're thinking Tron Light Cycle Run, end of this year, early next year. It's pretty far along construction. It'll be one of those ones that, like Velocicoaster, we'll see them though when they're testing it, which will be that'll give us an idea.
It's very
coming in the 40th. We are talking about Remy's 40th of Epcot, which again blends into the 50th.
I think Guardians of the Galaxy will be open before the 40th in 2022. So 40th of Epcot is October 1st, 2022. I think Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind will probably open just before that, summer, maybe September-ish, but it will open in 2022, around that sort of time. And they're aiming for that to be definitely part of the 50th anniversary, and also, hey, it's also part of the 40th as well, so they can get double marketing bang for their buck there.
Now, they Remy's, Tron, Guardians, I think I know your answer. What are the three are you most excited for?
No, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Easily. Guardians, because it's a brand new ride.
Yeah, it's a brand new ride, yeah. And also, I'm a big fan of Guardians of the Galaxy, as I've always said.
Yeah, and they're doing the filming too, right? They're filming during Thor, Love, and Thunder. Yeah. They have the same characters down there, so they're going to get the filming done.
Yeah, a lot of media stuff.
For the ride. Okay, so we have Harmonious. That was a big news day today. Just so, again, you guys know, we're filming or recording this on the 27th. This is the day we saw the big, what do they call it, like a circle,
so,
the O-ring?
Yeah, people are referring to it as the Stargate or whatever.
Sure.
You know, a portal, whatever. But it's a six-story tall central ring, which will have a water mist curtain, a bit like, you know, blanking that, World of Color, a little bit like that. And they obviously, the reason why that one needs to be a water mist projection is because six stories tall, winds across World Showcase Lagoon will be a pretty big nightmare, so they're doing water mist projection instead. But then the other ones, you've got four other barges which are 25 feet tall, and they are anchored in the middle of World Showcase Lagoon as well, along with the central ring, and they'll be there all day, every day, with a fountain show in the daytime, And then at nighttime, it will come to life for what Disney are calling their greatest or biggest nighttime spectacular ever. Now, begin the controversy. Begin the controversial opinions. Because, yeah.
Well, it's rolling out. You know, I don't. Well, no, I do today. I was always behind Disney going, you know what? There's a bigger, kind of one of those things, right? There's a bigger story here. We don't get it. Wait till we see everything. Hold tight. And then we got the circular, we got the big circle out, whatever you want to call it, the big ring. And it's not centered.
Yeah.
Again, we talked about before we recorded this, you and I chatted, and I think you think it's anchored and it appears it is.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to get less and less confident that maybe there is a bigger thing here. Maybe it is just going to be a bunch of metal out there, even with, I do want to wait till we see, but I couldn't imagine there being enough of a water feature during the day for it to make up for the eyesore. What are you thinking as an Epcot fan?
My concern isn't the nighttime portion, because I think the actual show itself, you can have, I really loved Illuminations, Reflections of Earth, soft spot in my heart for all that sort of stuff. It was there that we watched on our second date, me and my girlfriend. You know, it's a big part of my family holidays and stuff like that. So I have a soft spot for Illuminations, Reflections of Earth. But then I do know that Disney always needs to evolve their nightly spectaculars and stuff like that. And obviously IP isn't necessarily a bad thing. But where I've got an issue is the daytime portion of this, the fountains that are supposedly going to be a cloaking device to hide the great big 6-story tall, 60-foot tall, 25-foot tall barges in the middle of World Showcase Lagoon. I don't think they're going to operate nearly as well as people think they're going to operate. I think originally from what I heard is that they had plans to bring this thing, all the barges in and out every night. Okay. Much like
that was what they started when they started planning it.
Yeah. And then when they worked out how long they'd need to keep the drawbridge up, Epcot operations were like, we can't do that. We can't keep the drawbridge open up for like an hour at a time to let you move these barges in and out each night.
So it wasn't a matter of them being so big, because some people thought they just
will go through, but as you can see, they've gone through, but it's not like they're being airlifted in.
But would they be able, would they break down if they did that every day? Like, would it be too much of a, of,
I think they're gonna, they're more at risk of breaking down with fountains running all day.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
Because,
so they're stuck out there.
They're stuck out there. And I think eventually the fountains will break on them and Disney will just be like, we'll just run some sort of, I don't know, some sort of video on the screens instead, and that'll be it. And I think that's what they'll end up doing.
Yeah.
But at the moment, people are like, you know, stay positive about the daytime fountain show. And I'm like, well, you do know how water works, yeah? Water is transparent. And and what we've got under there is great big black steel beams. And I don't think that you'll truly be able to hide great big black LED screens as well. Underneath transparent water, so I'm not.
So you don't think this was the original plan? This wasn't.
It wasn't.
The plan
it wasn't
originally.
Part of the plan to something, do the daytime show. It wasn't.
Got it.
It might have been part of their plan to be like, you know, when we move them out at 5 p.m., we'll run a daytime, we'll run a night, you know, like an evening fountain show for an hour or two before the nighttime spectacular starts. But like, it wasn't their plan to run it from like 10 a.m. in the morning till the nighttime show, like.
Oof.
And who knows if it will even run all day like that, or whether it will be in intervals. We don't know yet. Like, I just feel like it's a problem waiting. It's guest complaints waiting to happen, I think.
Yeah. No, listen, I normally roll my eyes a little bit at some of the Epcot purists who are, you know, just because I'm not one. So I'm kind of like, God, you guys calm down. Yeah, but this, I was like, when this came out today. Shut up. I don't. Sit down and shut up, Sean. Yeah. All right. I will.
What's the goal?
Okay. So, but. But we're, isn't the whole theme park in that ball? So we're hopeful that it's gonna, we know it's probably gonna be amazing at night.
Yeah.
People are gonna complain because it's different music and IP, whatever. But we think it's gonna be a great show. During the day is where everyone's a little nervous. So Play Pavilion, what do you know about that?
Play Pavilion won't open until all masks. I think Play Pavilion will open very late. I reckon it'll open in 2022 when all mask restrictions are gone. Because this thing's going to be a bloody COVID nightmare, because it's interactivity. It's designed as like a playground for kids and let them get their, you know, hands all over all of the different interactive screens and all the other stuff. And it's just from a COVID standpoint, it's a nightmare. So Yeah, that thing's not going to open until mass policy probably gone. I would say spring 2022 at the earliest for Play Pavilion.
Earliest, okay.
And I think they've purposely decided to bench a lot of the stuff for that as well.
You haven't heard much about it, actually.
Yeah, it's not that interesting. They really haven't talked a lot.
Do you think it's going to be good? I mean, do you think it's going to be...
If you've got small kids, it will be good. But if you've got kids above the age of 5, you probably won't really walk in there. So, yeah.
All right. Moana, Journey of Water. What do you know about that?
That is a glorified water feature in the middle of the park. No one's ever really said...
Don't already have that with Harmonious?
Nobody's really put Moana, Journey of Water in that category yet. But, like, I hear everyone being like, Moana ride and it's a Moana attraction. No. It's like, no, guys, let's say what it actually is. It's a landscaping feature. It's an interactive landscaping feature. Like, there'll be dancing fountains, but the level of what you would call, you don't know this because you've never been to Epcot, but the Epcot... the Journey into Imagination, they've got, like, some jumping fountains over there.
Oh, no, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that,
like,
yeah.
If you'd call that an attraction, you know, it's a bit like that, but theme to Moana and have a bit of Moana music and a bit of lights and stuff, but like, it's not an attraction. It will be classified as an attraction, much like the town square house, you know, town square or firehouse is in Disneyland, but it's not an attraction.
But if they list that horribly boring Spaceship Earth as an attraction, how would they
there's a roller coaster inside now. I'm joking.
yeah, right. And then every ride through cuts it out so we can't see it.
I always
the whole
love
time
telling
prepare myself.
When you see first timers on a ride, like I remember being in Disneyland Paris and having a South African couple in front of us, and they had a kid, and the kid had never been on Tower Terror before, and me and my dad were stood there, and we told them that Tower Terror was a roller coaster. You know, when you get in there, you only ever see, and it's going to go loop-de-loop, you know, like that. And you're like, no, it doesn't. And, like, obviously, it's a drop, isn't it? So it kept them going. But I love, like, messing with people.
Did you do Mission Breakout?
Mission Breakout, yeah, I've done that, yeah. Yeah.
Did you, what, doesn't that drop more? Does it have more drops than...
It has more random drops, yeah. It has a different drop sequence than... But I've been on the Tower of Terror in Disneyland Paris as well, and... That had a big upgrade in 2019, and it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's scarier than the one in Walt Disney World, and I think it's better than Mission Breakout. It was on that ride at one point. You actually go up, and you can hear you see this little ghost girl and things like that. It's very horror-esque, and you can hear screams in the chamber. And it's like one of them's called like the Malevolent Machine and stuff like that. It's very creepy. It's much better than normal Tower Terror, I'd say.
Wow, yeah. Some fighting words.
Yeah.
I like the Mission Breakout because I think Joe Roddy did a great job with the retheme, and it didn't feel like a retheme. It felt like it could have been the original design for that ride.
They did it in like a year, which is incredible.
Okay, so next we have, this is the question. I know I've seen you cover the Mary Poppins attraction more than any other.
I love or, Mary you know, attraction Poppins.
Quotes. So, we'll start with that. Are we ever going to get something, or is that just gone?
I think it's probably missed its opportunity right now, because by the time they ever come back around to putting that on the table, like, the only reason why it was on the table to begin with is because Mary Poppins Returns, and unless they do a Mary Poppins...
It didn't do as well as they thought,
Yeah, it didn't do as well as they thought, and Mary Poppins Returns 2, they may do another Mary Poppins sequel in the future, a bit like what they did with, like, Alice in Wonderland. They kept, like, bleeding that one. But I don't think, and if Emily Blunt and Lin-Manuel are willing to come back, like, they'll do it. But I can't see that attraction happening now. I really hope that I think they could have rethemed the existing area into Cherry Tree Lane, to be honest. I mean, you could have just stripped away a lot of the outside of that building already, you know, in the UK Pavilion, and just turned that into a mini Cherry Tree Lane a little bit. I don't know.
Wasn't the rumor it was going to be just be a carousel or something?
It was going to be what they called a flat ride. People, it's changed around between people saying it was going to be teacups. I don't think it was going to be teacups because teacups are teacups. What I heard is it was going to be a flat ride like a carousel, but it was going to be a carousel with projections on both walls. So it'd be an enclosed carousel indoors, a bit like the Epcot Experience Center has those projections, a bit like that. And so you would be on a carousel in a animated world, which would have been kind of cool,
but
it would have been another ride, like a Dumbo ride for kids, but it would have pulled in some adults, and Epcot needs more rides for children, It needs more friendly.
Yep, before the Play Pavilion comes up.
The parents are happy to drink.
The germ-infested.
The parents are happy to get drunk, and the kids don't have much to do. So, like, yeah.
Spaceship Earth, will the remodel happen?
That remodel will happen eventually. That will happen eventually.
I agree.
It needs
it
a refurb.
Though, right?
It needs a refurbishment. That's what it needs most. But it will get a revamp eventually. The new storytelling Earth, the story. It's going to focus on the history of storytelling, which could be really interesting.
Festival Pavilion. That's gone, right?
It's hard to say with this because I felt like Innoventions West could have easily become a Festival Pavilion. If they had have stripped away that building, you could have even built. If they reinforced the roof, you could have even built the beer garden on top of it if they needed to. But instead, I think what we're going to see in the short term are festival booths throughout that World Celebration area. And then long term, we will see some sort of festival building built. But
The raised platform?
It will most likely have changed designs by then, I reckon. I think, as these things stay in Imagineering for longer, they go through design revisions. So I think that will probably look a bit different.
I think the good thing the Festival Pavilion has on its side, though, is that it is a moneymaker in terms of corporate events. Yeah, sure. And so even more so than a ride, it's something that the people who are counting the coins are going to be this should get priority.
We will get a new Walt statue. That is something that we're going to get the Dreamer's Point new Walt statue. We will get that. And it's the one where Walt's sat on some steps like Thanos at the end of the end of Infinity War. resting, looking over a grateful universe. But I feel that the Festival Pavilion, it will happen eventually, just for the pure fact that Chapek, if he's still CEO in the next couple of years, who knows what will happen. But he's still CEO, it will most likely happen because it was a project that he wanted to put his indelible stamp on Epcot. That was his project. That was his, he wanted to. The two projects that Chapek cared most about were Galactic Star Cruiser and putting
the Star Wars Hotel,
and putting a new structure in Epcot. That's what he cared about.
I know Jim Hill was talking about that. He heard from entertainment. They were just they're stressed out because they had so many people lined up to use the corporate people. Lined up to use the Festival Pavilion. Now they got to scramble and find something.
Well, they're using the what's it called at the back of the UK Pavilion? Blanked on my name. Showplace, World Showplace. They're using that for a lot of the festival stuff at the moment. And to be honest, that could just—it's a temporary kind of. That was meant to be used. The reason why they're using that moment is because they don't have any corporate events, but World Showplace is used for corporate events. So
okay, so they have a spot for them.
Yeah, so they have got a spot for them if they need to.
All right, now we've got to move. We're hour two, which I'm fine with, but it's getting to about 11 o'clock over there. You're probably shaking because you need a drink. We have the Disneyland Resort. We're going to move over, to Disneyland. The one park that Walt Disney actually went to. So the real Disney park. Yeah. and then, of course, the first thing I've listed is not actually in Disneyland.
Avengers
but
Campus.
The big Avengers Campus over in Disney California Adventure. Real quick, why Disney California Adventure and why Disney's Hollywood Studio?
We don't know. Seriously,
okay, perfect.
We don't know. Okay. It's a weird marketing.
Avengers thing. Campus. What are we doing with that one? That looks done. I got those pictures from that guy who flew over.
Yeah, you got a fantastic aerial shot there. It's pretty much done now. There's just very light theming that needs to be applied. They're running tests and adjusts on Web Slingers, a Spider-Man adventure, which is a stupid name in my opinion. And Web Slinger's not a stupid name. A Spider-Man Adventure is a stupid name. I've kind of tried to say it in a more subtle way in a video, but it's a stupid name in my opinion.
You said it. I heard it very clearly in the video. Yeah. You were not happy.
Will they delay the opening you got here? So from what Ken Potrock has said, who's the Disneyland president, he has said that it's ready to go when Disneyland reopens. I don't see them reopening it immediately. I think they will leave it a month, but I don't think it will lag too far behind. So if they open, let's say for May, Disneyland at reduced capacity, by around July, I reckon they'll be ready to open Avengers Campus. They'll, which is when it was targeted for last year. Like, it was targeted for July 18th last year. So I reckon it will be roughly around the same sort of time.
Okay, so you don't have the same feeling that you do about Epcot with Remy's Ratatouille, where they would want to make a big splash with it, that they would wait until they could be more at full capacity.
Well, the thing is with the Avengers Campus is Walt Disney World need to play to a global audience with their marketing play.
Okay.
Disneyland only has to play to their local audience, and locally, if local Californians understand that, hey, we've got the virus under control now, we've been vaccinated, we're up to like 60% vaccinations by July, it won't be as much of a marketing dilemma. It'll be like, okay, we'll just open it up now and start marketing it. Like, it's a lot, it's a lot simpler to think about than the international concern of, like, will the travel ban still be in place? Like, you know, you don't even have to. I'm hoping it won't because I want to get back to America. But we'll see.
Tough subject. All right, cool. So we think in Web Slinger, besides the horrible name, what do you think? Is this going to be just a Toy Story Midway Mania reboot?
So it is. It's an interactive ride like Toy Story Mania, but it uses advanced gesture recognition technology, which is basically like Kinect and stuff like that. But imagine forced Kinect sensors, so it's really, really accurate, pinpoint accuracy. And then it maps the iconic, you know, Spider-Man web gesture to know when you want to fire. But also it's using 3D. And from what I can tell, so the digital web will be projected 3D. So therefore it will feel like you're shooting out the web into a physical space or into a 3D screen, and it'll be a mix between sitting in front of screens and sitting in front of a physical space. So it's going to be a mix between those two. So I've actually looked at the ride layout and the ride permit from Disneyland Paris that has the same exact ride being built over there, which will probably open in 2022. You can see where they say show scene like 4A, 4B, show scene 5, show scene 5A, 5B. And like the 5A, 5B are like extra screen areas for you to like sit in front of like a screen like Toy Story Mania. But then the main show scene is like a physical scene.
So is Grandma going to be able to ride it, who doesn't want to flick her wrist around?
Well, if she has arthritis and she can't flick her wrist, and yeah, she probably can't ride Web Slinger.
Right? I mean, that's going to be a thing.
I understand, but
it's going to kind of...
Yeah, I think...
But I guess just like on
Millennium Falcon.
What's it called? Buzz Lightyear and Toy Story Mania. Like, I guess, you know, if you...
It's one of those things. It's just one of those things. But then again, you know.
Whatever. They got to have it'll be fun. How about the Phase 2 Avengers E-Ticket? Did COVID kill that?
It's killed it for a while. Like... It's not going to happen probably until after 2025.
Yeah. I mean, there's a space for it, so it's probably going to get built,
and
it's not going to be attention.
When things sit in Imagineering for longer, they get redesigned and revised, and new Imagineers come in, and people put different ideas in, and they change the original idea. You know, there's an example of this. Mission Space was never designed to be like the Mission Space that we got at the moment. It was originally meant to be like a... The space pavilion was meant to be like, you're meant to be on like a hanging roller coaster kind of style system. And you're like going around the outside on like a spacewalk. Like, it changed. And much like this Avengers Campus thing might change, the Avengers E-Ticket.
There's space for it. It's, yeah. Okay, Mickey and Minnie Runaways Railway coming to Toontown. It's going to be carbon copy from the one in Disney Hollywood Studios.
Not quite.
It'll be nice for Toontown. Toontown needs it out there.
It might have an extra scene or not. It might have one.
And it's going to have a slightly different queue because it's...
And it'll have a different queue.
Yeah.
It might have an extra scene. It might have a different queue. Well, it will have a different queue. Different story.
And I heard that the rest that they do have some plans for kind of freshening up Toontown because it's going to draw so much attention back there. It needs it. That area is just sad right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Did you ever go back there? I mean, I know.
I did go back there in 2019. No. Yeah, I did. And I went on Roger Rabbit's Cartoon Spin. I like that ride. It was great, but Cartoon Spin's going to look really bad next to Mickey and Minnie's, but.
It really is. I do. The one thing I like is Gadget's Go Coaster, which is a good...
I think you should get rid of that. I think
you do?
I think that should be got rid of, but it won't be.
It's good for the kids. It's a good, like, first coaster.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Fantasyland Theater. Right now, they shut down the show. It looks like the show's pretty close. The Magical Map.
Long-term, that area is not long for the world.
So it's not going to be a theater anymore, no, or is it going to be changed?
Long-term, they've got plans for that long-term. It's good space. It's vital space. Originally, there were ideas of, like, they really want to incorporate some sort of frozen area into Disneyland, and
yeah.
I think that would be very logical to turn that into a Frozen Ever After clone, but who knows if they will do that now.
Got it. Does it need to be, do they need to have a show of some sort? Because to pull out a big, I don't have kids, you don't have kids, but I have heard from families who have kids, the Magical Map and stuff like that is nice because it gives you an opportunity to sit and the kids can see something. Do they need to have something like a show, or is Disney right now okay with wiping out shows to put attractions?
The current leadership, like we've spoken about, like Chapek isn't big into entertainment. Like, he was the guy who said when Galaxy Edge opened, the cast members will be the entertainment. Like, a whole bunch of entertainment was cut. The reason being is because entertainment costs money. You know, it's not the mechanics of a ride that gets built and then it's pretty easy to operate. It's constant.
Yeah.
You need to hire new people all the time and constantly update shows and stuff. And then, you know, it's like the puppeteers. They cost a lot more to have puppeteers and stuff. So it's... long term, if Chapek stays, but that's the thing, we need to talk about if Chapek will stay long term.
I'll say this about Chapek, we can talk about it later, but I think Chapek was great for, I really don't think we could have a better CEO for the 1 year that we've been in COVID, because he's such a stickler and such a penny pincher in terms of, which is good in a global pandemic. Yes.
Yeah.
The question is, once the pandemic lifts and we start getting the influx of attendance again and stuff in the theaters, is he the right person for that? We can discuss that. Well, let's just finish up with Disneyland Splash Mountain retheme. That's not just Disneyland.
Yeah.
Is it Walt Disney World too? But what are your thoughts? I mean,
so from
this is so stupid that this is a controversy, isn't it? Dumb.
Well, I feel that personally, I personally feel that.
We're gonna find
out. No. I do feel like it's stupid that it's a controversy. That this is even controversial at all, because...
Well, no, let's be clear. Yeah. Wait, we think it's stupid that people are upset, like crying because it's being changed.
Yeah. Things change all the time.
I think it's a legitimate controversy that it was based on Song of the South. That is a controversy I understand.
Yes, and I
understand. I don't understand
that's what I mean.
Crying about the change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Agree with that. It needed to be changed. But the change that they're making, I don't agree with, because personally, I feel that Princess Tiana... Great movie. Princess Frog, fantastic movie, fantastic music, great representation for the African-American community inside the Disney parks. However, Princess Tiana, she is a strong, independent princess who doesn't just kiss a frog and become a princess and that's it. She works hard. She buys Tiana's place and turns into Tiana's palace and things like that. And I feel that she deserved, if you really want to be staying true to the story, give her... her own restaurant and maybe even a ride. Don't retheme a problematic attraction to Princess Tiana. Give her something new and of her own, not a reskinned ride. That's how I personally feel. But obviously, it makes more sense if you're Disney and you're trying to kill, you know, fix, you know, two birds, one stone, that kind of idea. You want to kill one problem and present more diversification in parts. It's a two birds, one stone kind of idea. But from what I've heard about this ride, it's not even going to center around Princess Tiana too much. It's going to be more about Louis the Alligator than it will be about Princess Tiana. And I feel that that is a disaster waiting to happen PR-wise when young black girls and boys ride this ride with their families. And they're like, hey, we finally got some representations of the Disney park, and like it's Tiana at the end on the showboat at the end, and the rest of it's about an alligator. I don't think that's going to play very well, and I feel like
you could have done
a whole ride about Mama Odie and you know the whole thing. But then again, the movie itself was controversial because you know you have the first black princess, and she spent most of the movie as a frog. Like it was another. I just feel like they're. I don't know. It's something that is going to be controversial no matter what. But the Disneyland version's going to go ahead. The Walt Disney World version, at the current rate, I could see them maybe hitting the brakes on that and being like, right, we'll decide what's right. I still feel like you could reskin the ride and make a new original ride out of this, like something like Western River Expedition, like, you know, something along those lines, or build, you know, just, you know, just retheme it to an original idea instead. Remove all of the references.
That won't happen.
It won't happen. Unless, you know, the adventures of explorers and adventurers, you know, that kind of thing, the society of that takes off on Disney Plus, and they decide, hey, look, there's a character there that we could retheme this Splash Mountain ride to. Who knows? We don't know what the future of this holds.
So, I mean, I've gotten a lot of questions myself and amongst people around me who are like, oh, is it going to be Splash when it opens in Disneyland, whenever it opens in May, June, July, December? Yes, it will. They need that. They love the money they're getting from Splash Mountain merch right now.
They'll have
one
great big last night for it, and that will make a lot of money. I don't know if the Walt Disney World version is going to definitely go ahead, because that's the same ride layout as the one in Tokyo, and Imagineering were hoping that they were going to share the budget. The Oriental Land Company, who own Tokyo, were going to split the budget with Imagineering on the redo of Magic Kingdom, Magic Kingdom's version, and Oriental Land Company are like, we're not completely enamored with this.
Didn't they say, like, they think about it, but they want to see how it turned out first?
Yeah, and they probably will. So that's the reason why I'm saying
they want to see Disneyland.
Walt Disney World's version will probably last a lot longer.
Got it. No, that makes a lot of sense. And what can I just ask you guys, as someone who's more Walt Disney World than Disneyland? The first thing, I mean, of course, there's people who are complaining about this for all different reasons. But the one thing I heard that really made me scratch my head was why Tiana's Princess and the Frog doesn't fit in Frontier. It makes sense in Disneyland because it's connected to New Orleans Square, but Splash Mountain. But then I thought, wait a minute, pump the brakes. Since when does Splash Mountain fit in Frontierland?
It doesn't.
It's not it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Well, but so the only thing it doesn't fit in Frontierland, personally, but the Frontier, you could technically class Georgia as part of the Frontier, the Westward expansion, that kind of stuff. A little bit. It's a reach. It really is a reach. I've never really thought it really fits in Frontierland either. It's always been a bit thematically incorrect. But it fits so perfectly into New Orleans Square and Disneyland, but it just doesn't fit in. Yeah, and I don't see how they
are they going to change. Are they changing Hungry Bear to Tiana's Place?
I could see that definitely happening. It won't necessarily be Tiana's Place or Tiana's whatever, but they'll call it Tiana something, and it won't be Tiana's Place. It won't look like Tiana's Place, but it'll be her extra restaurant or her, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Okay. Jungle Cruise update. That was one. It just wasn't as controversial as
it's
Splash Mountain.
We've all found it for a long time. When I ride Jungle Cruise, I don't like riding it for the reason that it's uncomfortable, to be honest. Animatronics look, they are outdated. They're caricatures of cartoony versions of different tribal aspects, and I don't feel comfortable with it. It's not something which, like, our entertainment has evolved, the media landscape has evolved to more sophisticated sense of humor, number one. We don't just laugh at stuff because we're like, hey, look, that person's got a head in their hand. Like, that's not funny. Like, what's funny now is more sophisticated humor, and so therefore, like, I feel like it needed a change no matter what, but I hope that they do a good job with it, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. What do they have Jungle Cruise in Disneyland Paris?
They don't. No, they originally had plans to, but they never did. They never built it. It's because
I love Jungle.
All of the other parks around Euro Disney at the time had versions of the Jungle Cruise. Because when they were all being built, they all just looked at Disneyland and were like, "We need our own version of Disneyland," and they built copycats of Jungle Cruise because it was very easy to build an animatronic elephant or whatever and shove it, you know, in a jungle environment in Europe. So, yeah.
I think, real quick, we'll just move on, but the difference between Splash Mountain response and Jungle Cruise response is, I think a lot of people were kind of surprised that Splash Mountain was based on something racist, because they're not you or I or someone who's listening to this podcast, and, you know, they just don't know. They think, oh, it's a funny story about a rabbit running around. They probably don't even follow the story. They go, you know, the bear is tied up and it's kind of funny, and then we splash. Like, they suddenly go, oh, not only, so, like, I like something racist, like, and so then that, but I think with Jungle Cruise, it was like, if you weren't uncomfortable about that, there's but something kind
of
wrong.
How much of it is also the fact that those who were run out of town in, you know, like out of the Disney Twitter's verse or whatever you want to call it, by the Splash Mountain announcement, like people were like, that's it, I've had enough of it. How people were like, woke culture and things like that. Those people who were so offended by the Splash Mountain re-theme, they turned off the Disney altogether, and so therefore when the Jungle Cruise announcement came around, those people weren't there to be outraged. Who knows? It's like a chicken and an egg kind of thing. Like, what came for? Is it because, yeah. Would there be
or a, maybe just Splash Mountain's more beloved. I think people love Jungle Cruise, and it's yeah. But now let's get to the most important park in the world, Disneyland Paris.
No, it isn't. Yeah, but
when's that thing reopening?
April. I believe it's April the 8th or April the 12th. April the 12th is its anniversary. So I think it's April the 8th. I think it opens a couple of days before its anniversary. But yeah,
and a couple of years ago, Disney got full ownership.
They
of
got
it,
full
right?
ownership of it, just so therefore COVID could hit and they could take a bigger hit on the bottom line. But to be honest, if they hadn't owned it when COVID hit, I could imagine like the holding company that held, you know, the ownership of Disneyland Paris, like God knows what that park would be looking like right now. If
oh really.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't be in a good state.
France shut down the whole country, right? They
did.
Like November. They did a full country shutdown
at the end of October, yeah. And
got it. Okay. And then Galaxy's Edge, Avengers Campus, and there's a whole Frozen. That's all coming to the Walt Disney Studios Park.
The things
kind of known
definite.
Known as an
Frozen's definite. Avengers Campus is definite because it's been built already. Galaxy's Edge is a bit more up in the air.
Really? They haven't? I thought they started construction.
They haven't started construction on Galaxy's Edge yet. Like, we know that. So, the series of events are Avengers Campus is going to open first, end of this year, early next year. They have their own Iron Man roller coaster, which is a re-theme of Rock and Roller Coaster. The Spider-Man Web Slingers Ride as well. A Spider-Man adventure. And then you've got Frozen, which is Arendelle. And that will be a Frozen Ever After ride system. And that will probably be opening around 2 years after that. That'll be a big draw. And they've got like a massive lake, like kind of the size of World Showcase, kind of a bit, quite a bit small, but that kind of thing.
Will it have a huge piece of metal in the middle of it?
Well, if
like Harmonious.
If we can clone Harmonious and bring it over, which, I mean, it's not hard to find some chunks of metal to shove in the middle of a lake. So maybe they will be able to do that.
I thought Galaxy's Edge is there's a question mark around it just because
it
hasn't started being built.
It's the last one to be built, and also the response to Galaxy's Edge so far. It's whether they, but the ride that they were looking to build as part of that Galaxy's Edge was the Rise of Resistance attraction, not Millennium Falcon.
What about the Bantha ride that everyone's so sad about?
People don't care about
the Bantha B ticket or C ticket. That
yeah.
God, that's everyone just if only they had that, it would have made everything different.
But I do. Galaxy's Edge will long term drop the storyline, and they will pivot towards incorporating elements of Mandalorian and things like that into the parks, definitely. I mean, I reported on that back in January 2020. But, yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think they're going to go as far back as the original trilogy, but I think they're gonna open it up to other things. They have to.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, they have to.
Okay. Real quick, before we get to the long term, I just want to say, Galaxy's Edge, what was your thoughts on that? I mean, I know I think you like it, right?
I really like Galaxy's Edge.
Your videos.
I really like Galaxy's Edge. I loved Rise of Resistance. I thought it was fantastic. Looking back on it now, I do feel like maybe it probably wasn't the best move to theme it to the new trilogy. It might have been better to put Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker and Leia in there instead. But I can also see where they're going with it. I mean, it's pretty easy to reskin if they want to something else. They could easily do that if they wanted to. But it's a fantastic attraction. I love Galaxy's Edge. I'm very much looking forward to the Star Wars Hotel. Probably won't be able to afford to.
Okay, I was going
to
ask. I didn't put it on there. Galactic Star Cruiser, Hollywood, just so you guys know who's listening. If you don't know, it's a Walt Disney World Resort hotel. It's going to be connected to Disney Hollywood Studios. It's, like I said, it's Star Wars themed, which is really, like, very poor way to describe it, because that's really light. I mean, it is fully immersive. Yeah. What are your thoughts on this thing?
Well, it's going to be the next immersive step in themed entertainment. So what they're aiming to do is, people are like likening it to live action role play, LARPing or something like that. But that's what they're aiming to do with this. So you'll walk into the... number one, it's not really like a hotel. It's more like a cruise line experience. So you have an itinerary. Everything will be themed exactly like to how it is in Star Wars. It will feel, you'll be encouraged to develop a character, have a bit of a backstory, you know, play along the missions. It's a full immersive, you know, please escape into the world of Star Wars. A little bit like Westworld. Less so of the robotic, you know, prostitutes. But anyway, but yeah, none of that. But it'll be their version of, like, as close as they can get to, like, a Westworld kind of experience, but for Star Wars. So you'll have an excursion down to Black Spire Outpost, and it's all themed. Everything's staying. You won't be walking through the main gate of Disney's Hollywood Studios. You'll be taking a special entry point into Galaxy's Edge, and there'll even be special themed activities in Galaxy's Edge for the Galactic Star Cruiser guests than there will be for standard guests. And I reckon that will probably take place before the park opens, or maybe after hours or something. But they'll need to find a way.
When are you expecting this to open?
Well, they keep saying 2021, but under these current circumstances, I could see it being early 2022. It is scheduled supposedly for 2021, but I can see everything. Like I said, I don't think we'll be without masks in Disney parks in 2021, so I think it'll be 2022.
Would you want to do it?
I would want to do it, yeah, but I don't also want to do it as like a news kind of like video aspect, because like it's going to be...
You want
to
do it just for
like,
fun?
I don't want to walk around it like trying to film everything. I want to actually enjoy it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was okay to do it with like Rise of Resistance and Millennium Falcon and stuff like that, because I can go and do it many, many times. But like this will be so expensive, I'll only be able to do it really once. And if I'm doing it once, mm-hmm. I want to like enjoy it, but I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. I get stressed out when I have to check in and talk to the person at the front of the hotel. Yeah. I can imagine having to be like you're fully into it the whole time. Like, when do you get to relax? And I'm 6 foot three, 250. Like, I'm not going to fit in those rooms.
They're small rooms.
They look like
No. It's a big double bed. Not just bunks. There's a double bed.
And, or a queen?
Well, I don't know. Whatever. American size beds are different to British beds, but it's a proper bed. You get a proper bed. I see a lot of people talking about the bunk beds, and it's not, you're not sleeping in a bunk bed. That's for the kids. And
does every room have bunks?
Every room will have bunks, it seems like. It's like a cruise line. And the room will be roughly the same size as a cruise line cabin. So yeah, they are small, but...
Perfect,
yeah.
Okay.
If you can manage it.
Sure. But you have things to do. You don't need to stay in your room. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now we're going to move on. This is pure speculation. So it's getting late. So we can, beyond long-term, anything 5+ years or more, which park? So the reason I wrote this, I wrote in the question, which park do you see Disney really focusing on the long-term future? It just seems like Disney will go through phases. Like in, they really put the billions of dollars into DCA in the late aughts, you know, so, and then they put a lot of money into Animal Kingdom with Pandora, yeah, and now Epcot. What are your thoughts? Is it going to continue like that, or do you think it's going to be settled and more spread out, just kind of additions here and there?
Well, it's all cyclical. So Disney they did have a cycle beforehand, and it was we went Magic Kingdom and New Fantasyland, Disney's Hollywood Studios and Toy Story Land, Animal Kingdom of Pandora. Then we had Hollywood Studios, Toy Story Land, Star Wars Land, and then it was meant to be back to Epcot, and then Magic Kingdom again. So the one after that was meant to be Magic Kingdom, for something else. But Magic Kingdom still is the number one park around the world, has most attendance, they do need more capacity, they need more rides. So Tron will sort of help with that, because they didn't just remove a ride, they added a ride. But whereas with, and same thing with Epcot, they're adding a ride, but with Toy Story Land and stuff like that, they added rides, but they also removed Great Movie Ride and things like that for Mickey and Minnie's. So the parks which I think that they will be adding to in the next 5 years or announcing stuff for, I think we will probably get a new ride announcement for each park for the next 5 years. I don't think it will be like a new land. I think that we'll probably see we'll probably see smaller projects, but every single park that continue for the next 5 years to really fortify and strengthen the resort-wide strategy as Universal are building Epic Universe. So they want to offer... They don't want to like put all their eggs in one basket and make sure Hollywood Studios is still one park that they are still looking at and thinking, we need one extra big e-ticket in. That's what Imagineering are thinking.
What would you see there? What could you see them doing?
Well, the long-standing rumor has been Indiana Jones for that, or more Pixar. But who knows what happened with Indiana Jones at the moment? If they really need to reboot the franchise, but personally, I will see in the next 5 years they're going to strengthen their strategy. What Disney needs to do now is they need to continue to put the foot on the accelerator a little bit in each park. They need to keep the pressure up. And I don't think we'll get ride announcements this year. We'll get ride announcements in 2022, and it'll be every park will get a big new addition, which will be opening around 2024-2025.
Okay.
Okay, and that will apply enough pressure to be like, hey, Universal, you know the Epic Universe that you're building and will be opening in 2025 or so now. We're still going to be opening big rides in every single one of our parks, and we've got four parks, and it's a way to show to like the casual fan, hey, Disney has four parks and Universal's only building their third, like, and that park isn't going to have as many attractions as like, so they need to really build out their catalog with, anyway. That's how I see it.
It always takes lands a while, it seems like, when they open, like DCA and stuff. Yeah. I mean, they never open up, like, great. Okay, and also within that time, they're going to have the updated Jungle Cruise. It's not going to be a big deal, but it's still going to be something that's going to draw in some locals.
And stuff, yeah.
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 And then years, I mean, you announced here, and I'll break it on Twitter later, that you said that Space Mountain is going to be shut down. So I'm glad that you
It will definitely need to be refurbished in the next 5 years or so. It's been needing a refurbishment for a while, a bit like Spaceship Earth. But whether they incorporate IP into it is a different matter. I can see them easily incorporating IP into it if they want to boost attendance next to Tron in the next 5 years. That's what I...
All right, 30 seconds. Is Disneyland going to get Tomorrowland update?
Yeah, it will get an update eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah, okay. But...
do you think it'll be a whole thing? Or are they going to piecemeal it?
I think it'll be piece by piece. I think it'll be Nemo, Subs, Autopia to begin with. Maybe the old Inventions building. You've got Rendown, you think Disneyland's 75th anniversary. Obviously, we've got Disneyland's 70th anniversary in 2025. I think we'll probably get an announcement for some sort of new addition within Disneyland at D23 Expo in 2022. Within tomorrow.
For the 70th.
Not for the 70th necessarily, but announced at in 2022 for Tomorrowland, something in that area. That will probably open, maybe.
Got it. People are expecting that at the last one,
it's
right?
It's 3 years.
At the last D23.
It gives them 3 years to build something. So it's possible. Usually their cycle is 4 years for an attraction, 3 to 4 years. So we'll see.
Yeah. Are they going to get rid of Launch Bay, do you think? That needs to go.
That's what I meant by Inventions, the old Inventions building. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last one that I have before we wrap up, is there realistic potential for Disneyland and DCA to grow outside their current footprint? They have that little spot over there with that Toy Story parking lot, I guess. But there is. I mean, they're kind of locked in, aren't they?
It's such a complicated question. That's not a 30-second answer. It's more to do with the city of Anaheim and whether they'll allow it. Because you can't really expand Disneyland Resort without also having the city of Anaheim being on board with improving the infrastructure around the area. On roads, off roads, ramps, things like that. You really need them to invest in the area, and it's Harbor Boulevard and the businesses along Harbor Boulevard that won't allow direct access to a third park, and so therefore you've got a shuttle business and stuff like that. Like Universal, their Epic Universe proposal down, you know, it's away from the rest of their property, like they're having to redesign a lot of I-4 and that kind of area to get to where they want to be with their third park being away from the other two. And I can see it being a much bigger headache for Disney in California.
Got it. So they not only have to have plans, not only do they have to be in a financial position to do it, Anaheim's governing government, you know, their local city council, they have to be in a very Disney, because they go through trends too, anti-Disney, pro-Disney. So everything's got to line up. This is going to sound really bad, but I mean, maybe with what COVID, the stress is putting on a lot of these businesses the smaller businesses, they may be in a position where they're not going
to
have
and
a lot
Disney
of...
Disney will be the one to buy it, But
Kind of, yeah. Okay, I just wrote here. I didn't tell you what they were. These be a quick, real sure. last minute rapid fire. You have one answers. Okay here we go. Way. You got to answer quick. Dole Whip or churros?
Churro.
Churro.
Yep.
All right, answer this. Turkey legs, disgusting, messy, and sticky, or delicious, convenient, and affordable?
Delicious and affordable.
Yeah. You like them? Okay. I like them. Star Wars Episode 8, Last Jedi. Great film or terrible film?
Terrible film. Easy.
Oh.
Terrible. Terrible film.
All right.
Did you see him milk? Who did? Did you see him have green milk on his lips? Yeah, okay. It's a terrible movie. Terrible movie.
Who did more for the Disney parks, Michael Eisner or Bob Iger?
Michael Eisner.
More positive things.
Michael Eisner.
Okay. You've been given $5 billion to create a Disney park in India. You have to hire one creative lead to oversee the project. Would you choose Tony Baxter or Joe Rohde?
I don't think we can hire Joe Rohde now. He's working for Virgin Galactic.
Sure, yeah.
I would probably hire Joe Rohde for that project because I think he'd understand the culture a bit better. But yeah.
You're right, yeah.
But if I was...
Muppets...
Go on, sorry.
Muppets in the Disney parks? Should there be more or less, or is it just about right?
More. Definitely more Muppets.
More.
In every single park, they are the IP that could easily be in every single park.
But they're not. Do you think it's just because their polling, their internal research, is people just don't like him that much, or is it?
We'll see. We'll see what happens in the next couple of years.
Three more. Pixar Pier in DCA was an upgrade or a downgrade?
Upgrade. Easily upgrade.
Best live action remake. Best live action remake.
Aladdin.
And this is that you already answered this, but it's the last. Finally, we did the Ultimate Disneyland Tournament of Rides at Disney Insider. We had 170,000 votes. The last championship round was Haunted Mansion versus Pirates of the Caribbean. Which of those two would you say is the better ride?
Pirates of the Caribbean. I mean, yeah, it's a hard one to. Yeah, no, it for me personally.
All right, there you go. I deleted this, but I'm going to ask you: Do you think people who were born in the last 30 years say that's not what Walt would want too much?
No, they don't say it enough.
They
don't say it enough. And most importantly, Imagineering and you know, management don't think about that enough, about how to actually run the company as a creative instead of a management MBA.
Great way to end. Okay. I just want to thank our guest, Jack from DSNY Newscast, for joining us here at the Disney Beat. We're very grateful, and hopefully we can do this again. It's been 2.5 hours,
it has,
and I don't think we upset too many people. Please go subscribe to Jack's YouTube channel at DSNY Newscast. Follow him on Twitter and Instagram at DSNY Newscast. Thanks for doing this, man.
It's been fantastic. I've really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
And for those of us here at the Disney Beat Podcast and all of us at the Disney Insider, I've been Sean, he's been Jack, you've been you, and we'll see you real soon. Thanks, you guys. Well, there you have it, part one of our conversation with Jack from DSNY Newscast. Don't forget to subscribe to Jack's channel on YouTube by searching DSNY Newscast. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram using the handle at DSNY Newscast. Please like and subscribe this podcast along with exclusive interviews like this one. The Disney Beat also releases weekly shows, which covers all of the Disney news for that week, keeping you informed of every aspect of the Walt Disney Company. Follow me, your host, on Twitter and Instagram at the handle at Sean Nyberg, SEANNYBERG. This podcast is brought to you by thedisinsider.com. To find all of the latest Disney news, please check out thedisinsider.com or follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by searching at thedisinsider. You can find links to all of these accounts in the show notes to this podcast. We will be releasing parts 2 and 3 later this week, so keep an eye out for those. I want to once again thank Jack from DSNY Newscast, and thank everyone for listening. Have a great week.